Fathers, this is your big day. Happy Father's Day. As a matter of fact, this message today on Father's Day, this message today is a tribute to the wonderful fathers here at Fenton Crossing Bible Chapel. So here's the history of this message. I thought, what is the greatest thing I could talk to our fathers about? And I thought, well, the greatest thing you already have. I believe the greatest possession that a father, or anyone for that matter, could own or possess is the certain knowledge that God loves you and that you are accepted by him forever. In other words, you have eternal life. So having that, I thought, well, what's another thing? The second thing I thought is the greatest thing that a father or any family member could have is a biblical heritage. In other words, a mind saturated and marinated in the Word of God. So that's what our message is about today. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the Thessalonians, he said, you know, you guys are a model for the rest of the Christian world on how you love one another. And then he goes, and now do so even more. Isn't that great? So we have a lot of good Bible students here. And so the point is, do so even more. So our message today is a tribute to our fathers, and the title to the message is Be Biblical, Marinating Your Mind in the Word of God. The outline is on the back of your bulletins. If you like outlines and did not receive one, raise your hand. Vince has some extra copies. He will give you an outline. If you want an outline, raise your hand at this point. Thank you, Mr. Vince. Rather than wasting time going over the, we'll just do it as we go. As you know, I'm a big idea person. I like to encapsulize in one sentence the main message of the message, so that when you walk out those doors and somebody says, hey, what was the message about? You have a good idea. And so the big idea today is this. The well-being of a believer. The well-being of a believer is directly linked to a serious interaction with the Word of God. I've been following the Lord now for over 40 years, and here's my testimony, my observation, it's just an observation, that those believers who have a serious interaction with the Word of God have a different kind of life than those Christians who just dabble in the Word of God. They have a different perspective on home and family and free time and what's important. They have a different attitude about their local church and their gift use. They have a different attitude about how to live in the business world and in your neighborhood. So the big idea today is, in my observation, that we must have a serious relationship with the Word of God. The subtitle is Marinating Your Mind in the Word of God. I want to talk about marinating. Now, if you know me, I'm not going to be marinating chicken, but I'm using it as an illustration. When you marinate something like chicken, it takes on the flavor, the smell of the marinade. And so when you bite into that great food, you taste, you notice the flavor of the marinade, right? So the subtitle is Marinating Our Minds in the Word of God, so that when people encounter you, they can sense that you have been with Jesus and his word. What comes out of your mouth, what they observe in our lives, is it directly related to your relationship to the Word of God? Now, is Matthew McKee here? This slide is dedicated to Matthew. He's not even here. He's our main hockey lover. Some years ago, as you remember, our wonderful Blues hockey team was headed to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if you took Highway 44 East, right before you got to Hampton Avenue, there was a billboard there. And this is what was on the billboard. It was a billboard promoting our hockey team, Do you bleed blue? Are you fans of your, you know, do you think hockey? You could go to the stadium and buy a shirt that says, "We bleed blue." I would like to hijack this concept for our church and ask this question. Do you ooze? Do you bleed Bible? Is the Word of God circulating through your bloodstream, through your nerve, your brain cells? If you've been paying attention, our world has kind of changed recently, hasn't it? Look what's going on across our country and around the world. We more than ever now need to think biblically. When we look out into the world, the Norman Rockwell America that I grew up in and my father and my grandfathers grew up in doesn't exist anymore. There was a time when we knew our country wasn't perfect, but we loved it. God blessed us from sea to shining sea. We had a clear vision of what is black and white and right and wrong. We served. We were good citizens. Those days are gone. Our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren are living in a different kind of world where good is called evil and evil is called good. The life that we lived in our country, our grandchildren will live a different kind of life. And my question is, where do we get the information? Where is the plumb line that informs us how we should be thinking about these issues? This is a little cartoon. I don't know why the screen is smaller today. It's usually bigger. But if you can't see that, there's a reporter interviewing a man representing science. And the question is, can people change their gender? And the science guy is like, yeah, this is obvious. But he's got a gun pointed at his head with the phrase cancel culture. So he has to answer according to the culture or they're going to blow his head off. They're going to cancel him. What is the plumb line? What is the filter that we put our thinking through on these issues? There we go. What about these others? The woke movement, the age of identity politics, the critical race theory. Frankly, I need a cheat sheet just to keep up on what these are, much less how to filter them through the grid of the Word of God. You don't want to be picking up your opinions around the water cooler on these issues. We want to be thinking and filtering them through the very Word of God. We've seen sanctuary cities. Are you okay, guys, with men in the locker room with your daughters? What do we think about that? Or I have to look because you keep adding letters, the LGBTQ issues. What is the plumb line? Do we pick it up from our society? What about reparations? Should our country be repaying? And what about this big crisis at the border? I don't know what your view is. And frankly, I leave that with the politicians. I pray for them. Speaking Spanish, I look at that and I go, wow, there's an opportunity, right? What is the way we should think about immigrants and foreigners? Do you know about the 40-plus exhortations in the Old Testament where God tells Israel, hey, love the foreigner? Where do we get our thinking on these issues? Now, our country was never perfect. But I'll tell you what, having lived outside the United States, you know, you hear about these movie stars that want to leave the United States. It's like, do you think the other countries are pristine? Let me tell you, from one who lived in another country and visited many more, you don't want to leave. We've got it really good here. But I will tell you, things have changed. Where where are we informed? Where is the source of authority on these issues? I think in my own lifetime, when I was a little boy, I loved Saturday mornings. I used to wake up and watch Daffy Duck and the Roadrunner and Bugs Bunny. Yeah, I call that good, clean fun. But over my lifetime, things have changed, haven't they? You don't want your kids watching cartoons today like The Simpsons or The Family Guy. The life we live today is different than we grew up in. Even our heroes. Abraham Lincoln was one of my heroes. I know he wasn't a perfect president, but boy, some of the things he stood for, today we don't have a clear-cut identity on our heroes. When I was growing up, I liked Batman and Superman. When you watch those, you didn't have to wonder what side they were on. It was crystal clear. They were the good guys. They were our heroes. Our younger generations are looking elsewhere for their heroes. Point number two. What do you value? When it comes down to it, what do you value? If you knew back in an old junk drawer in your house that you had about 5 or 6 bitcoins, I'm thinking you'd be all over that drawer, right? Because they're worth a lot of money. Or if you found out that Uncle Albert, who is once removed, left you 5,000 shares of Tesla stock, you'd be on the phone with your lawyer trying to get that. Or if you found out in your basement you had a few pounds of palladium. Now, you might know what that is, but that's the reason people steal your catalytic converter. It's very expensive. Depending on the market day to day, it's more expensive than an ounce of gold. If we had these items, we would value them. They're worth a lot of money, but would you? What would you think if I told you you have something in your house that is much more valuable than those things? As a matter of fact, what you have in your house is better than solid gold, silver, or precious jewels. And it's right there under our noses. And you know what it is, isn't it? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is more valuable than Bitcoin, Tesla stock, and palladium. Now, don't get me wrong. I would like to find a few Bitcoins somewhere in my house. But spiritually speaking, listen to what the Word of God says. Listen to this passage in Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 5-9. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't abandon wisdom, and she will watch over you. Love her, and she will guard you. Now you'll notice I have these words in red. Wisdom is supreme. You know why wisdom is supreme? It will guard you as a father, as a mother, in making decisions, in raising your children, and making decisions about your finances and your future and your eternal glory. Wisdom is supreme. So get wisdom, and whatever you get understanding. Now, watch this. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. If you embrace her, she will honor you. She will place a garland of favor on your head. She will give you a crown of beauty. The principles, the wisdom from the Word of God will guide you. It's valuable. When you buy a refrigerator or a new car, the owner's manuals are like over an inch thick. You go and you operate that machinery according to the manual. This is the manual. This is the book that will guide our lives and increase your well-being in the here and now, not to mention in eternity. Listen to Proverbs 3, 13 through 15. Happy is a man. Men, fathers, are you happy? Are you happy in your lot in life? Happy is the man who finds wisdom, who acquires understanding. Watch this. For she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. Watch this. She is more precious than jewels. And I love how this ends. Nothing, not Bitcoin, not Tesla stock, not any mineral, nothing you desire can equal her. Do we have that desire for this treasure we have in our homes? Proverbs 16:16, get wisdom. How much better than gold? And get understanding. It is profitable. I'm sorry. It is, I don't know if the screen's smaller, but I'm having trouble reading that. Preferable. It's preferable to silver. I would like to encourage us, and of course this message is for the men, but it's applicable to all of us. We don't check our brains at the door. We don't have a big religious leader telling you what to believe. God has given you a mind. He's given you his word. And he wants us to use it when it comes to the word of God. What does it mean to love God with your minds? One day someone came to Jesus. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, and with your mind. He wants us to engage our minds in loving him. And loving him requires us to engage the word of God so we can learn how to love him. Beloved, more than any other religion on the face of the earth, Christianity is a teaching religion. That's why we have Bible studies, family Bible hour, all stuff related to the Bible. It's in the middle name of our church, Fenton Crossing Bible Chapel. Bible, Bible, Bible. Listen to this. Before Jesus ascended, he gathered his disciples and he said this. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our mandate, by the way, and it's never been rescinded. But notice this next part. What is the great central part of the Great Commission? Teaching. Teaching them to observe what? Everything. Everything I have commanded you. You see, Christianity is a teaching religion. We should be all over the Bible like we'd be all over some Bitcoin found in our old dusty junk drawer. That's our goal. It's a teaching religion. The president of the Southern Baptist, Dr. Albert Moeller, wisely observed this. He said, we will not believe more than we know, and we will not live higher than our beliefs. Is it possible that in this biblically illiterate church scene across America, that one of the main ingredients of our carnality as a church nationwide is because we don't know how to live higher because we don't know the word that teaches us how to live higher? We must know the word of God. Let me repeat the main point of today's message. The well-being of a believer, our well-being of people here at Fenton Crossing, is directly linked to a serious interaction of the word of God. Let me explain. All of us have come into this world messed up, right? It's just to what degree from one another. We all have problems. We all have inappropriate urges, idiosyncrasies, eccentricities, don't we? You see my little illustration? It's a picture of a person out of balance. This is what the fall caused. But God in his mercy gave us a manual. He said, yeah, I know you're all screwed up, but here's the manual. Open it up and read it. There's an interesting verse in 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the verse that helps us get back straight. You know the verse. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for. I'm going to mention these four things, but I want you to focus on the image there. It's out of whack.
And God has given us his word to take our, out of whackness and get us back somewhat straight up. The word of God is profitable for teaching. As Albert Moro said, you can't live beyond what you don't know. You got to have teaching. And it is for rebuking. How many of us have been rebuked by the word of God? We read it, I need to get that area under the control of my life. We need rebuke. We need correction. We need to get our lives back straight up. We need, no, this is not good. This is the right way. This is the path. Don't do that. Do this. Here's a better option. And for training. Now, here's my question. If you dabble only in the word of God, you're going to miss out on these four amazing things, and you're going to go through life crooked and immature. This is what you will miss out on by a serious marinating our minds in the word of God. And the cool thing is the 2 Timothy 3:16 passage, there's a complementary passage in the Old Testament, which is Psalm 19, 7 through 8. Look at this. You'll notice I have red asterisks. These are the benefits. Watch this. The instruction of the Lord, which is the word of God, the instruction of the Lord is perfect. Notice what it does. It renews your life. I can't tell you how many times I've hobbled in here on a Monday morning discouraged, and I have my quiet time and I read the word of God, and it's like I'm inflated again, ready for a new week. It renews us. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. We all start off unwise. The only way to get true wisdom is a serious interaction. Have you ever met Christians who've been saved for years and they're still in the nursery? The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. God knew what he was doing. I'm giving you my word. It'll make your life better. Get in it, read it, devour, marinate yourself in it. You'll get a different kind of life. I can't tell you what my life would be like if I didn't have 40 years of marinating on the word of God. And finally, the command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. You know, I was youth director here with Cindy for 10 years, and we'd stand at the door and we could look at the youth and we could tell by their eyes what kind of week they had. And we can't read minds, but typically if they had a good week in the word, it shone in their eyes. If they were being decimated by the tyranny of the devil and the world, it showed in their eyes. So let me review here. If you put the two passages together, you get teaching from the word of God. You get rebukes, correction, training. You get revival of your soul. You'll get wisdom, rejoicing your heart and enlightening your eyes. Do you see what one would miss out on if they just stuck their toe in the deep end and swished it around? This is what you get of a life built on the word of God. And this is important for us Americans because we live in a hyper busy society. Don't get me wrong. Before I came on board here, I was a car salesman. I worked 60 hours a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I didn't get home till 9:30 at night. And I got to be honest, I had nothing in my tank. If I had to study the Bible on those nights, it wouldn't happen. We must make room, however, and I'll talk about that in our final point with some practical suggestions. I have this book in my office. It's called Connecting. The subtitle is The Mentoring Relationships You Need to Succeed in Life by Paul Stanley and Robert Clinton. And here's what they have observed. We have observed that most people cease learning by the age of 40. By that, we mean that they no longer actively pursue knowledge, understanding, and experience that will enhance their capacity to grow and contribute to others. Most simply rest on what they already know. Brothers, but those who finish well maintain a positive learning attitude all of their lives. Let me use an illustration of the Apostle Paul. This blows my mind. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He's in jail, and he knows he's going to be beheaded shortly. As a matter of fact, that's what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. It's close. Now, if that was me, the last thing I'd be wanting to do is read books and study. I'd be worried, oh man, I hope the blade is sharp. I want to say goodbye to my kids. Where's my wife? Give me some lunch. At least give me my final meal. But the Apostle Paul, he writes Timothy, and this blows my mind. When you come, bring the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus. And what? The guy is days away from dying, maybe weeks. Bring the scrolls and especially the parchments. He wanted to study the word of God in his parchments all the way up to the final day. He's my hero. Even in old age, with his departure at hand, Paul has not lost his interest for study and mental pursuits. Men, this is our goal. We don't want to coast on the victories of the past. We all know people. I knew a guy a long time ago. He had three messages for the Lord's Supper. He would just recycle them every time. It's like he didn't notice, we noticed, right? You could tell he's not in the Word. He's not fresh. He's not studying anything. His anecdotes are always the same. We want to have fresh vision, fresh messages from the Word of God, like Paul. It was a man that you've never met. His name was Bruce Barton. He was a businessman, author, and politician. He nailed it in a few words. He said, when you're through changing, you're through. The point is, you keep growing like Paul, digesting the word of God. I talk to God every day, Lord, show me my faults. I want to be more humble. I want to be this. I want to be a better grandfather, a better elder. Show me a book, a passage in the scripture. I want to learn. I want to change. Sadly, later in life, many Christians simply coast and live off the victories of the past. We stop learning at age 40. We fall into bad habits like binge watching. We know more about the talking heads on Fox News than we know about the prophets and their messages. We lose ourselves in our jaded, depressed life, looking for a fantasy world online. We spend hours and hours watching TV, surfing the internet, or getting addicted to what is normally good things. Beloved, we don't want to coast in our final years. Like Paul, we want the pedal to the metal. And this problem couldn't come at a worse time. You're going to die when you see these statistics. We in the church are in a crisis of biblical illiteracy. Take our country, for example. Do you know that less than 50% of Americans can name the first book of the Bible? When I got saved, the first Bible I went, the Bible study I went to, the guy said, open the book of Genesis. And I leaned over and I said, what's a Genesis? I had no idea what the first book of the Bible was. Only 30% of Americans know who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Do you? Who delivered the Sermon on the Mount? No, don't say it. 25% of Americans surveyed did not know the reason that Easter is celebrated. Now, we would expect this from the world, right? They're not going to be brilliant Bible scholars. But here's the sad part. Not only is there biblical illiteracy across our land, it's also in our churches. According to current research, over 80% of professed Christians in America are biblically illiterate. They're clueless. They get enough information to be saved, and they kind of coast through going off of their water cooler theology is what I call it. This is a sad thing. Despite average sales of more than $1 billion annually, that's pretty cool, the Bible, only about 20% of Americans read their Bibles daily, and this is the saddest phrase right here, making the Bible the most owned and least read book in history. Yay, we got an acclaim, we got the best book, but it's the least read. Oh, isn't that sad? We got them in our houses, they're collecting dust. What about America and the Bible? 57% read their Bibles four times a year or less. 26% of Americans read it four or more times per week. 11% of teens read it several times per week. That's a pretty low percentage. 3% of teens read the Bible daily. Now watch this. If you ever wondered, the average daily time spent reading in the Bible, according to the survey, is 7.4 minutes. Okay, that's the world. What about us? We beat the statistics by 1%. Only 19% of American churchgoers read the Bible daily. I hope you guys don't fall into these percentages. 40% read it once or twice per month. 18%, if you can believe it, admit to never reading the Bible, the manual. And sadly, this is the effect of that. According to the Borna Group, among adults, 32% of those who were born again said they believe in moral absolutes. Only 32%. So when God makes a declaration on gender identity, it's kind of fuzzy. We can go either way. When God makes declarations on how we should live, well, right? And sadly, only 9% of born-again teen Christians believe that there are moral absolutes. Where's the other 81%? What's going to happen when we're off the scene? What is going to be preached from the pulpit? Now, I'm going to preach a message today. You can take it or leave it. You can go left or right. Just decide on your own. We need to declare absolute truth. We have that in the Word of God. Point number five. Are you truly living? And this is the heart of the message. If you're about to fall asleep, somebody give them an elbow. This is the heart of the message. We're going to get to Deuteronomy chapter 32 in a minute, but I want you to notice, again, the big idea. The big idea of this message is the degree to which one assimilates the Word of God into their life is directly related to the quality of life a believer will experience in the here and now. It's a general principle. You take in the Word of God, let it trickle down into your nervous system and come out of your pores, you will lead a significantly better life than those who do not take serious the Word of God. Let me give you some examples. We in America usually only have one meaning for live when we're talking about the Bible, and that's go to heaven when you die. That's taught in the Bible, but this is not what we're talking about today. God is talking about your well-being in the here and now. He cares about our well-being. It's not just about where you're going to go. It's what we're going to do until we get there. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. Keep my statutes and ordinances. A person will what? Live if he does them. In other words, God comes along and he says, look, here's my book and here's my promise. You do what I tell you and you will thrive. You will experience well-being. You will live an abundant life. Many Christians get their ticket stamp for heaven, but they don't get in on the goodies of the here and now. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life. Okay, there's the salvation part, but that you may have it abundantly. And that abundant part comes from knowing the Word of God and how to live and how to respond, how to raise our children. Here's my main verse for this section. Miraculously, we're ahead of time, so let me set up this verse. God redeems Israel out of Egypt. First generation gets to Kadesh Barnea. Oh, there's giants in the land. Wah, wah, wah. And God sends them out for another 38 years to wander in the desert till everybody in that generation is gone. Then God says to Moses, get up, give them the law again. That's what Deuteronomy means, the second law. Now, nothing new. But I love this passage. I'm going to read it. After Moses finished reciting all these words to Israel, he said to them, take heart, take to heart all these words I'm giving as a warning to you today, so that you may command your children to follow all the words of this law carefully. Now, here's where I really get, it's really wonderful. Notice what he says. They're not meaningless. This is serious. The words that I give are not meaningless words to you, but they are your life. Do you understand how important the Word of God is in your day-to-day life? God stops. He says, look, Moses, tell him this. The words I'm giving you are not meaningless. It's life or death on your well-being. They are your life. And by them, you will live. You'll experience abundant life in the land that you're going into. Pretty cool verse, isn't it? Pretty sobering verse. Couple more verses, Proverbs 4:4. Your heart must hold on to my words, keep my commands, and what? Live, enjoy abundant life, prosper, have well-being. Proverbs 4:13, hold on to instruction, don't let it go, guard it for it. Here it is again, over and over. It is your life. Please, think that through. What does that mean? It means we must have a serious interaction with the Word of God to enjoy abundant life in the here and now. There's another passage in Proverbs. We all like eating. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about what I'm having for lunch today. My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands. Watch this. For they will bring you many days a full life. Who doesn't want a full life? I want a full life. Who doesn't want well-being? I want well-being. So take inventory of your life. Are you experiencing a full life? Are you enjoying abundant life? And if not, maybe it's because of the relationship with the Word of God that you don't have or that we don't have. All right. Final point, rapid fire. I like practical stuff. I'd like to end this message today giving you a rapid fire suggestion, a list of suggestions how we hyper-busy, distracted Americans can become biblically literate. You ready? Here we go, rapid fire. How many, don't raise your hand, hypothetically, how many have yet to read the Bible from cover to cover? Would you do me a favor? If you haven't done this, would you covenant with God? We Americans have it so easy. We have one-year Bibles you can order, and it's divided into an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, a proverb, and a psalm. In 365 days, you can cover the whole Bible. And if you don't like paper version, you can download on your pod, your pad, your phone, a list, a daily list. We have iPads, iPhones, and if you don't like reading, you can get the audio version. Get the Word of God into your mind. Love God with your mind. So before leaving the slide, can we have a kumbaya moment here? If you have yet to read the Bible through from cover to cover, would you covenant today to just go home, download a list, and start today? Don't wait till January 1st. And men, if some blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy comes knocking at your door to ask for the hand of your daughter in marriage, the very first words out of your mouth should be, have you read the Bible cover to cover? Because there ain't no way I'm giving my daughter away to somebody who only dabbles in the Word of God. Now, that sounds funny, but I'm serious. You want to send your daughter off into a hellish marriage? Send them to a person who doesn't know the Word of God. Maintain a healthy soul. We already talked about this. Continue learning. Exercise your brain. We go to the gym. We exercise these bodies. I mean, this doesn't happen by accident, right? We need to exercise our minds daily with the Word of God. One of the preachers of the old days said this, John Stott, there's no doubt that the best teachers in any field of knowledge are those who remain students all their lives. Sometimes people ask me Bible questions and I give them answers. How did you know that? I taught this. When you have to learn and prepare notes to teach something, it sticks with you. Don't become just a learner, become a teacher of the Word of God. This is a big Awana one. Approve workmen are not ashamed. We got Awana in our church. Be diligent to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the Word of God. One of my heroes I never met, but through his books, Howard Hendricks, was a professor down at Dallas. They called him the teacher's teacher. And here's what the teacher's teacher said. I've never found a person with a significant spiritual ministry who does not also have a strong personal intake of God's word. Can I interpret that for you? You're not going to wake up and go, what the, how did I get to know so much Bible? How did I get to become the leader of Awana or on the speakers list or whatever? Gosh, it just happened by accident. No. It's never going to happen without a strong personal intake of the Word of God. Emmaus Bible courses. You could get them downloaded on your phone and have your phone in your bathroom so when you're doing business in there for 15 minutes, you can study a whole lesson. There's no excuse not to get the Word of God. We've got it on our phones, our pods. You can get it on Amazon in 2 days. As a matter of fact, beloved, you can get a Bible degree in your pajamas on your couch today. There's no excuse for us Americans not to be biblically literate. You can go to Emmaus. You can go to seminaries, Moody Bible Institute. I know, Steve, I know. Emmaus, everybody, not Moody. You can get a degree online in your pajamas. Zoom people, that, you can do that. Now, here's a real good one. Many of you have a commute. Be wise with your time. You could get a Bible degree just listening to sermons going to and from work every day if you be intentional and plan. What are you doing with that space? That time when you're driving from home to work and work and back, use that time to grow in the Word. When you go to the gym, I got iPods and sermons and preachers I listen to all the time. Every time I preach, I listen to 5 or 6 sermons to see what they said about the message I'm going to preach. We have our devices. You can't sleep at night. Boom, sermon. My wife listens to 3 or 4 sermons every night. She can't sleep. What's she doing? She's not wasting her time. She's not on Facebook. We have apps, all kinds of helps. I know we're not readers. We're readerettes. Most Americans are readerettes, and as Alexander Strauss says, readerettes produce Christianettes. I don't want to be a Christianette. Excuse me, but I want to quote Howard Hendricks one more time. The two factors that will influence you the most in the years ahead are the books you read and the people you're around. Please don't ever say to me, I'm not a reader. You can listen to audio. That counts. You got to be a reader. A reader is a leader. A leader is a reader. You want to lead your children? You know, the Puritans called the family the little flock. Dad, you're the preacher of the little flock. You got to have, you know, when I went to Merrimack and I took data processing, information in, information out, trash in, trash out. If you're a programmer and you put trash in your program, guess what you're going to get? Oh, what a miracle. It came out perfect. No, we've got to get the Word of God in our lives. I will tell you, I cannot tell you how important it was for me, the people that I hung around and the books that I read. The missionary biographies, the theological books have shaped me to become the man I am. And I'm going to try to do it to the end of my life. If you're not a reader, would you get with God? And you say, well, I'm an American. You know, I go to work and the kids and I get home and I'm tired. Real practical. And this is what we'll close with. I'm going to call in the help of John Piper. Before I read this, don't look up there. Don't look at me. Can you come up with 15 minutes in your day? Yes or no? I already know the answer, so don't say you can. If you read 250 words per minute and resolve to read 15 minutes a day, in 1 year, you would read for 5,475 minutes. Now, follow me through on this. Multiply that times 250 words per minute and you get 1,368, et cetera, words per year. Now watch this. The average book The average books have between 300 and 400 words per page. So if we take 350 words per page and divide that into 1,368,000 words per year, we get 3,910 pages per year. That means that at 250 words a minute a day, you could read about 20 average books in a year. That's almost two books in a year, 15 minutes a day. Now, if you translate that into Bible study, 15 minutes a day, serious Bible study, you could probably study five or six books of the Bible in a year with just 15 minutes a day. I have one or two slides left. I just want to end this. Beloved at Fenton Crossing, many of you are ardent Bible students. Praise God. Do so even more. But if you're not, would you, I just pray that this is not just another sermon you taste. Oh yeah, that was fine. And then you forget when you walk out. Would you get with God and make it your goal in life that before you die, you study all 66 books of the Bible, 15 minutes a day? You'll be done in 10 years, not at the end of your life. And then start over again. Would you become a serious reader? If you want good books to read, ask around. I'll give you a really good book list of the books that I've read. And here's why, dads. The greatest legacy that you can leave your children is not a portfolio of bitcoins and Tesla stock. More is caught than taught. You may talk Bible at home, but when your children see you praying and studying the Word of God, that speaks volumes to your children. Leave your children the legacy of a disciplined and intentional spiritual life. What was the big idea? You're going to leave here in 1 minute. The big idea is the well-being of a believer is directly linked to the serious interaction with the Word of God. Beloved, I've been in pastoral ministry for a long time, and we have this phrase called the spiritual nursery. It's where Christians have been saved 10, 20, 30 years, and they're still waiting on others to change their spiritual poopy diapers. God doesn't, how would you like to have a son or daughter at 20 that you're still spoon feeding and changing their diapers? It would be abnormal. What does God think when he's got all these Christians that are still in the spiritual nursery? Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, you need milk, not solid food. This is not a positive thing. The Hebrews had gone backwards in their development, and the author of Hebrews is taking them to task. You need milk and not solid food. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he's an infant, but solid food belongs to the mature. Please, beloved, if you are still on milk and if you are still in your spiritual diapers, would you get with God today and make a resolution and be intentional? Don't just go home, have your meal, and go on with life. This is life or death. Would you commit to 15 minutes a day? Start studying the Emmaus courses. If you don't like them, try something else. Plan your commute. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to have 6 sermons downloaded for the whole week, to and from work. Imagine what you could learn on your trip from to and from work or 15 minutes a day. Leave your children a legacy of a godly dad, a godly mom, a home based on the Word of God. Dads, have a great day. Let's pray. Father, we confess to you we are hyper busy and very distracted. Help us, Father, to become resolute and intentional to get your word into our nervous system, into our minds, to marinate our minds in the Word of God so that we may experience not only eternal life, but abundant life in the here and now. Father, I pray for us men at Fenton Crossing that this would be a turning point in our lives as a church, that we would step up, take your word serious, and become Bible people, that we would bleed, not blue, but bleed Bible. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.